Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media. Just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's.
Well, hello, everybody. This is the Tuesday edition of the Phil and Bill Show, and just want to let everybody know that, as you know, Bill's wife is sick, Bill's mom's sick, so he's doing double duty, and he said to say hello to everybody. Hopes to be back soon. A couple of things I wanted to talk about. What I was going to do is get one thing out of the way right away, because I've had a lot of requests from Australia and Europe about that New York, those New York detectives who have that little thing about don't talk to the cops. So let me play that, get that out of the way, and then we'll go to the next topic.
Didn't see the Central Park 5 documentary, go see that. When I saw that, I only had like 4 years on the job at the time, so I was just learning. But what really was heartfelt was when you looked at those young boys, and I know the whole story. When you look at those young boys who was crying and pouring out for help, and they thought they were going to get it from their parents, the parents didn't even know how to protect their kids when it came to law enforcement. That's why we educate the community on what to do when stopped by the police. We educate parents because parents don't know, even if you do, which you shouldn't. But if you...
And I want everybody to understand, when I play this, it's not that we're adversarial against the police or the cops or law enforcement. It's the fact that we're against the ones that don't do it right.
Do give the police department the permission to talk to your loved one. If you do, at any given time, you can stop it. At any given time. But you never should give the police department the permission to speak to your loved one if they're arrested. We tell the young folks out there, don't speak to them. I'm going to use part of my time to just give you a simple demonstration of what I teach young kids. When you're walking down the street, you get a call, and the police get a call. If the police stop you in an area, I'm going to give you a Saturday night, whatever area you're at, and the police stop you, do you know why they're stopping you? They're stopping you because you're the only one in that vicinity. So right then and there, you are the perpetrator. You don't know you're the perpetrator because they're not going to tell you you're the perpetrator. What they try to do is stop you by engaging you. How you doing, sir? Or whatever. Sir, did you see a car? Did you hear a gunshot? Did you see somebody run? And what you think is you think because you're not the perpetrator, right? You tend to think, well, let me help them out, or let me defend myself. You don't have to defend yourself. The burden of proof is on them. Keep your damn mouth shut. This is what I tell the young folks, that if that was to happen to you as you're walking, you say, officer, am I under arrest? No, you're not under, well, then I must be free to leave. And then you start to leave. Let him or her say, no, you can't leave. Well, then, officer, am I under arrest? No, you're not. Well, then I must be free to leave. Well, no, I want to ask you something. Well, officer, am I under arrest? You keep saying that. Because let me tell you something. If the police had the right to arrest you, do they ever ask you? They do it. So I teach you to just say that. When the officer says, well, listen, you're not under arrest. I just want to know, did you see a car? Did you hear a person scream? Did you hear gunshots? You're the officer. Am I under arrest? And if they say, well, you know, you're smart because you know what comes behind that, right? Okay, officer, you're under arrest. Okay, officer, you turn around and you put your hands behind you and say, here, take me. Here. But you don't say nothing. Say, 9 times out of 10, they're going to push you away. Because they're going to say, you know, if they don't have enough, they're going to say, I can't lock this person up. But what you just did is you showed them you're not afraid to get arrested. The other way you handle that situation is you do this. A cop stops you. Excuse me. You live around here. This is what you do. And you look him or her straight in the eye. And you just do this. Excuse me. Did you hear what I said? Do you live around here? Can you tell me your name? It's easy. Just don't say nothing. Now they got a decision to make. Either lock you up, beat you up, or let you go. Now there's going to be some derogatory statements coming behind that. But you know what? I guarantee you that 99% of the time, at the end of that confrontation, you'll be walking like this in a way and on your way. That's what you do. Stop trying to prove to them that you're not the person they're looking for. That's up to them to do. Another thing, know your rights. In this book, it's only about 28 pages. I give you what you should do when you're stopped by the police, what you should do if the police come knocking at your door, what you should do if the police stop you at your car, in your car, what the passengers should do, what to do if you're brought to a police precinct because some people don't know what to expect, what to do after you've been violated by the police, how to fight them back, and get in touch with our organizations, because we will come out and we will help you. I can't go down to CCRB anymore. They don't want me down there. Because when I've escorted people down there, they say, you can't come in. You know why? Because when I went down there with some people that was complaining, they play semantics with a person's words. And I'm sitting there and I say, listen, if this lady said the officer slapped her, then the officer slapped her. You don't have to say to her, well, did the officer inadvertently put his hand up? What are you talking? She's a grown woman. She knows if she's been slapped. Just like grown men, they know if they've been hit or violated. You know, stop making excuses for the police. Or, well, they told me you can't come down here anymore. You know, it's all right. It's okay. Because if I can educate enough and you can stand and use that backbone in your spine and stand up for what's right, you'll be okay. Because when you leave there, you got us. You got us, and you're going to have your community behind you if they just would stop being scared. We, as a people, need to stop being afraid.
Okay, we got that out of the way, and that puts a light, sets some light on what, because down in Australia, they're going through the same kind of shit. They're more than three of you, they're sitting in a bar having a drink, and somebody's wearing a support shirt, you're going to jail. And they have to tell your people where you're at, and they can hold you indefinitely. But this right here should be Steve. He's the casting producer for a new show that's not on Fox Television. It's called Utopia. It's a brand new show. It's challenging. It's kind of, well, Steve, can you, are you there, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Can you give everybody a, like, I just, perfect utopia and a bold new unscripted social experiment. Can you tell how that came apart?
Yeah, absolutely. Utopia, it's a new non-scripted show from Fox. It'll debut in the fall. And it's basically the brainchild of John DeMaul, the guy behind Big Brother and other great shows. But it's really, the concept is taking 15 everyday Americans and relocating them to a pretty isolated, primitive area somewhere in the United States and seeing what they can do over the course of a year to create their own society. You know, so many people have problems with the government and society and the economy and all the things, you know, wrong with the world. This is giving 15 individuals a chance to correct it, to see if they can make it better. So it really is more social experiment than it is a reality show, but it's a kind of a cool, groundbreaking new series that we're currently casting for.
Mm-hmm. And right now it's airing on Dutch television. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. It started, John DeMaul did a version in the Netherlands, which is currently still going. I think they're 6 months into it, the social experiment. And now he wants to bring it to America and see, you know, what we can do, you know, what ideas we have that we can implement to make things better.
Mm-hmm. So I understand that Utopia is going to be the largest, most ambitious social experiment on television.
You know, it really is, because the thing about this that's different from any other show is that this will follow a group of people for one entire year. So, you know, this really gives people a chance to make changes, to see what they can implement, to create their own infrastructures and create their own sense of commerce. So it's, you know, there's nothing like this has ever been done before. So we're all really excited about it, and Fox is you know, very much behind it.
Right. Some people you might know who are friends of mine are on one of the hottest TV shows that Fox has, or FX has, but we're talking about the Sons of Anarchy. But
Oh, of course.
If you're getting people from all walks of life, what do you mean? Bricklayer, plumber, lawyer, doctor, what?
Absolutely. I mean, ideally, we want people with strong opinions, people that have thoughts and ideas of how to make things better. But we're also looking for people that actually have some skill sets that could be useful in a pretty isolated, remote location. You know, we're looking for people who can build, people who can farm, people who can cook, people who can hunt, people who can fish, you know, really practical skills as well. But, you know, more importantly, we're looking for people with ideas of how they could, you know, change society to make it better. So we are. We're looking for, you know, all types of people.
You got a job for a retired Marine Corps sniper?
Oh, yeah. I think we can find a place for you. Absolutely.
There you go. I like this guy already. But, no, so basically what I understand and what I've read on this is basically you're just asking people the fundamental questions.
Oh, pardon me, Phil. I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said from what I've read and what I what I've read and what I've seen, and I tried to watch it on Dutch TV, but I couldn't get the language program to flip it over for English for me. But
yeah, me either.
Figure out, I kind of like with the picture and stuff, I could figure out what they're saying in Dutch. But the fundamental questions, like what kind of questions do you ask people?
You know, basically we ask people, you know, if you could create your ideal utopia, what would it be? You know, we ask things like, you know, what would you change about society if you had the opportunity? We ask things like, you know, what skill sets do you bring to the table that would actually benefit a situation like this? And then we also ask a lot of questions about their personality, their views, like what are your views on politics? What are your views on religion? You know, to try to find where people fall on the, you know, the scale of, you know, hot topic, you know, situations.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah,
so
we're basically, you know, just trying to, you know, get people from a wide range of viewpoints. You know, we don't want it to be one-sided. We want all kinds of voices represented in Utopia to see what they bring to the table and what they can do together.
And it's just 15 people?
Yep, just 15 people. That's how it'll start out.
Well, doesn't that get tricky when they have to vote on anything, or?
Well, it's basically up to them. I mean, they don't even have to choose to have a democracy if the 15 people decide not to. I mean, it can be a total hedonistic, you know, free-for-all if that's what they choose, which is the exciting part about it, because we as viewers, we won't know what these 15 people end up doing until they get there and decide.
Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to create, let me read from this here, but they'll be able to create an ideal society from scratch without giving a leader and without any rules. That could get tricky.
It could get very tricky and very interesting, and that's going to be the compelling part about it, because there's certainly going to be, you know, factions that want leadership, that want a democracy, and there may be people who don't, and we'll get to sit back and watch how they work it out, because I think that's part of the cool thing about it. Let's see how they do come to decisions collectively.
So basically, this is going to be, they won't have any power, no structure, and limited amenities.
But they can choose. They can choose structure. I mean, they can choose to go into a full democracy and elect a leader, a king, if they want to. That's the beauty of it. They can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as far as amenities, they'll basically be given a basic structure, hook up to water, electric, gas. I think they'll be starting off with some farm animals, maybe some seed. But another interesting element of the show is they're also going to be given a large amount of money for a startup business, because they will have access to the outside world, probably through cell phone, where if they want to, as a group, come up with a business idea or sell products from Utopia that makes money for the group, they'll have access to that. They can do that.
Cool. So, okay, I understand this is going to be like a one-year gig.
Absolutely, 1 year. I know it's asking a lot, but I think that's the interesting thing about it, because it's not just a month. Let's see what 15 people from all walks of life can do. This is what they can do over the course of time and how they evolve as people and what they learn from each other and what we'll as viewers learn from them.
Okay. And then, GP told me that, so say I get picked for the show. And I have to, I got to pay my bills, obviously, my mortgage. How does that work into the show?
Well, and right now, there's definitely compensation for the people that are chosen. We don't know exactly how much yet. They're still working out the details. But we do know that Fox wants people to be extremely comfortable and not worry about bills and mortgages and car payments and things like that when they go on the show. They want people to be relaxed and feel like they can actually walk away and focus, you know, primarily on the show and building the society. So, you know, definitely compensation will be made that where everybody who is selected can walk away comfortably and not worry about things.
Nice. Basically, this is Steve. Do you have any questions for Steve? He's the casting producer for this show called Utopia.
Yeah, I have one question. When we were talking about the show, the last Phil and Bill show, and Phil was addressing it, I have one real big question. I know with the Hollywood people, they have this, how do I put it, they like faces that fit well on the TV. They like a certain look, a certain theme to base their shows on. And the basis of this show, as you were saying, is to take 15 everyday Joes type deal who have certain skills to be able to add to this group. Now, what I want to know is if Fox and the Hollywood people are going to shy away from the pretty faces and the look that they're looking for, and are they going to be honest and really, like, hardcore interview these people and pick them on the basis of what their backgrounds are versus they have that look? Because, I mean, that's the problem with a lot of the reality shows that I'm seeing pop out here. It's not so much about the honesty and commitment of the people on the show. It's more of who likes who and who has what look, and they've added this person because they can fit this part. And, you know, that's what I'm curious about. Are they going to, you know, stick to what they're presenting?
Right, right. And that's a very good question. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, if we just wanted to, you know, if we did have a biker on the show, if we wanted someone who just simply looked like a biker, who fit the part, who, you know, was good-looking and passed as a biker, then we could just get an actor. But, you know, the truth be told...
Wait, you don't have to get an actor. I qualify.
But, you know, the truth is we really want people who have opinions, who understand that culture, who understand, you know, what that lifestyle is like, because they're going to bring something to the table that, you know, an actor couldn't, because it's basically going to inform our audience what that lifestyle is like, what it's like to really live the life, walk the walk. So we absolutely want authenticity. We want people who really are who they say they are, who know what it's like to live that lifestyle, and are willing to share it with our viewers, and also people that have opinions, opinions of how things can be better and what they can do to make it better. So, yeah, absolutely, and it's a great question.
Now, when you also were talking about, because you brought a key factor to light, the fact that, you know, you were looking for people that maybe don't agree with government politics or any or all of those, you know, grounds that most reality shows, et cetera, kind of steer away from. Are you prepared as a network producer, founder, whatever, that if some of these political people should come to light and kick up a stink due to whatever may be said, are you willing to go hardcore and raw? Are you willing to air what these people really think? And are you willing to protect them should there be any repercussions against them?
Right. And also, another great question. And the answer is absolutely. We are absolutely, there will be no censorship on this show. It will be whatever happens with this particular group of people, that's what actually will be aired. We will not manipulate it. We will not edit to make anything appear anything other than it is. And absolutely, you know, if things get too crazy, you know, there will be factors put into place to circumvent that.
Okay. Those are my two biggest questions, because all in all, everything I've read, everything that Phil has told me, it looks like it will be a very interesting show, because, you know, I myself, being raised around the culture and the people, I have very strong opinions. I'm not afraid to ever, you know, share those opinions. But I know with some people, you know, that's harder for them to, like, kind of put out there. And I was just concerned with that, because this would be a big step towards biker culture, because, I mean, as much as Phil has friends on the SOA show and several different other shows, that's still geared towards, you know, soap opera, Hollywood. People have gotten the wrong ideas of what the biker lifestyle is like, what we live for, breathe, and die for. And it would be great to have a little bit of honesty, because it goes from one spectrum to the other. It's either like a soap opera on SOA, or you have the other crazy reality shows making us look like we're all a bunch of murdering idiots, you know, to put it bluntly.
Right.
Exactly. And I mean, even though we're all very strong opinionated, you know, where the political lines are drawn, it just would be nice for the general society to know that we're not a bunch of vagabonds, you know. We're not the people that Hollywood has portrayed us to be. And due to Hollywood, you know, we've always gotten discriminated against over the years, but Hollywood has played a key factor over the last several years, because people have the wrong misinterpretation for what we stand for. And, you know, if this show can be honest and protect the people that are on it, et cetera, it would be a great way for modern society to really see, you know, our views.
I think you're absolutely right. And one thing that I especially love about this show is, you know, with the millions of viewers who are likely to tune in, you know, twice a week, it'll air twice a week, this gives everybody a platform, and everybody gets a chance to really show America what they stand for, what they believe in, you know, what is true and what's not true. Because I think this is a chance to really change some misconceptions about particular cultures. And I hope we have a biker on. I do, because I think there are many misconceptions about the biking culture. And this is a great chance to really show America what it really is and not just some, you know, Hollywoodized version of what's been portrayed in the past. So that's what I like about the show.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah.
You guys should apply, utopiatv.com.
I wish I had that type of time between work, kids, and everything else, because that would be, you know, an awesome experiment, especially to partake in. It's going to be interesting, and I'm definitely looking forward to watching it, because some of the reality shows that are out there, I do enjoy the ones that are more not Hollywood geared, but more towards you can see that, you know, there is some honesty.
Right, exactly.
It's not just, you know, catering to pop culture, or so to say.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, the problem for me is the job that I have. And that when I got the message from Kayo, who talked to JP, I kind of like looked at my schedule and what's coming up and what's going on, and I'd love to go in there and interview for this, but I just don't have.
Well, we would love to have people like you, because I mean you both are very articulate.
I'm working on that. I got a
strong point of view.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's, you know, it's like I said before, that's the problem when Hollywood gets involved. They just kind of cater to, you know, what's ever going with the flow at the time. And they do it a lot on the reality shows. So it's like if they can stick to those, you know, because I've also seen a lot of shows, which you know, here's another concern of mine. You get the reality show, the first season goes off without a hitch. Everybody's intrigued. And as season, you know, 2, 3, and 4 come upon, it gears, again, a little bit more towards that look or that topic, you know. And it would be great if this show can just, you know, stay in the guidelines that it has set. So the people that view into the first season really get the hook, and, you know, they're going to watch it again and again and again due to the fact that they're staying, you know, on that edge of keeping it real and not fading off into, you know, which group is watching this more and what area is this group from, you know, because I have minor education in video and radio technology, and you know, that was one of the things that we would talk first semester at school about, the look or following the trend, because, you know, that makes money. It produces money.
Right.
It generates
Absolutely.
Money. And, you know, the people who invest in these shows are also looking to make their money back and to give everybody a paycheck or however you guys do that. But to stick with the basis of the foundation of this experiment through each and every season, and to maybe break those barriers that so many of the reality shows have just kind of folded to make the buck. And that's what would be interesting to see. You know, many seasons on down the road, you know, are they still doing exactly what they said they would and not catering to, you know, the higher-ups, or so to say.
Right, exactly. I know what you mean, but, you know, I look at it this way, because we feel like the concept and the people we choose and the voices they have and the thoughts and ideas that they bring to the table, that's what's going to make people watch. It's not about catering to one particular, you know, demographic or another. We all feel strongly in this concept and the social experiment aspect of it. So I think it's, as long as people keep it real, I think people are going to keep watching.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think, because, I mean, especially, like, biker culture people, like I said, we're headstrong, we're humble, we're hard workers, but our views and our opinions towards many different things are pretty much, you know, the same when you're dealing with real bikers and not these Hollywood wannabes that are popping up at every corner due to, you know, the SOA stuff. And
right.
Not to knock SOA, because I watch it. You know, that's my soap opera thing.
Right.
But, you know, it'll be just, you know, I think it'll be a real positive thing. And not only that, there's so many bikers out there, too, that have lived the lifestyle all their life, but keep their views to themselves, keep their opinions to themselves, not to basically steer the shit pot, you know?
Right.
It would be nice to have our views put up front and personal, because basically when you've got the old school bikers, our opinions are all the same, and that's, you know, around the world and back. We all believe in the same beliefs. And to get those out there, to, you know, for people to know that, like I said before, that we're not all lunatics, because, you know, every batch has its bad set of apples. I can't vouch for everybody.
Right,
but,
exactly.
You know, for the most of us, you know, where people cross the street and say, oh, my God, what is this coming? You know, if they just turned around and said, hey, good morning, they would find out that we're just as human as they are, you know?
Right, absolutely.
You know, it's just we're, you know, from two different cultures, but, you know, we're human beings underneath everything, and we feel and we think and we hurt and, you know, we hate just as well as everybody else.
Absolutely. Well, that's one reason that we're really thankful to, you know, you guys, because, you know, it's hard for us to, you know, really penetrate into the real biker world. So, you know, we're thankful that you guys are helping us get the message out, because we want to find somebody who speaks for you, that really represents you well. So, you know, that's why we're, you know, so happy to be on your show.
I got the perfect guy for you, but he's got a lot of stuff on his...
I was just thinking the same person, and I know who you're thinking. Are you thinking,
well,
Bill?
Yeah, let me, Steve, let me give you a little background. I told JP what happened, I think. But,
okay.
Bill and I used to do a radio show on AM radio in Carlsbad, California. It was KCEO, which is owned by Fidelity Investments. And on the way to the show, I seen a newspaper ad. This was a Tuesday night, and we went all the way past Ensenada in Mexico, all the way inland towards the Imperial Valley, and as far north as the other side of Irvine. So we had over 100,000 people listening to us before we got knocked off. And the reason we got knocked off is, like I said, I saw a newspaper article, and it was Kim Jong-un, not the son, but the father, and he passed a law saying that if you had hair longer than an inch and a quarter, that was it. You couldn't get it any longer. If you were bald, you could have an inch and three-quarter comb over. So being
wow.
the fact that Bill is bald, I started fucking. And I said, hey, Bill, did you see the paper today? Did you see what Kim Jong-un did in North Korea? No. He goes, no, enlighten me. I said, well, Bill, if you got hair longer than an inch, you can't have hair longer than an inch and a quarter. If you're bald, it can't be, the comb over can't be no longer than an inch and three quarters. Now, what I'm going to do right now is you have to picture this, because he grabs the mic and he says, quote, I want all my Korean brothers and sisters to meet me at LAX. We're going to fly to South Korea. We're going to cross the 38th parallel. We're going to go town by town, street by street, house by house, until we oust Kim Jong-un. Freedom! That was Tuesday. Thursday, we come in. Two attorneys are waiting for us. You guys cannot talk about overthrowing a foreign country. Yeah, after the FCC fine and everything else, okay, we got our spanking, and that was it. The following Tuesday, hey, Bill, you know there's not one motorcycle club in communist China? Again, he goes off. That was Tuesday. Thursday, the same two guys and the station manager, you guys are done. We told you last week not to talk about overthrowing a foreign country. So we've been on the internet for the last 6 years.
Wow, that's insanity.
Yeah, it's basically we got to talk about if we swore it got beeped out, but we got to talk about anything we wanted except that.
Wow, so much for free speech.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's,
like right now, you got people. I'm just gonna. I told JP about this, but I'm gonna tell you right now. I have a little thing here that tells me where people are listening from. So right now, the United States, of course, but Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Australia, Brazil, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Singapore, the Netherlands, Poland, the Ukraine, France, Saudi Arabia, Australia. Let's see. Spain, France, Russia. We got one guy listening in China. If they catch him, he's done. In Germany. And usually we have one or two guys. They'll tune in every now and then. In the last few weeks, they've been tuning in all the time. So, right now, just on the radio show alone, since the first of the year of this year, we've had 3,442,979 people check this show out.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations to you guys. You're doing something right.
We
tried. Too much. Too much. The crux of it is we have more biker culture people listening to the show than anything else. We had India a couple of weeks ago. We had over 700 people listening from India. And India used to have them little small 50cc, 125cc, scooters. And since they've opened it up and they sell Harleys over there now, we're getting people from there who want to be in the culture.
Yeah, that's great.
And not only that, Phil addresses issues that are happening in other countries that basically can come here, revolved around riding a motorcycle, helmet laws, safety check, taking your motorcycle away, et cetera, et cetera. And, he has a line that he uses all the time. What happens on the West Coast will eventually go to the East Coast, and what happens on the East Coast will eventually go to the West Coast. So in order to inform biker culture, of events going on around the world and back, that's where this show comes into play. So people know what exactly is going on in other places with their culture, basically.
Right. Well, that's a great service you guys are doing.
Yeah, and the thing is, just picture this. Picture this, Steve. Me, you, and JP are sitting in a bar. We're all having
I like it already.
we're all having a beer. And the cops walk in. Now, we're all wearing support shirts, or one of us is a member of a club, and I got two guys with support shirts, or one guy, two close club members. Anyway, three people. And we get arrested. They don't have to tell us why they're arresting us. They don't have to tell our families that we're locked up. They don't have to tell them where we're at. Nothing. And what they're doing now, is I got a notice today from this guy Brett in Queensland. What he says now is the cops were pulling over every motorcycle. Super polite. How you doing? Just want to know if you're interested in filling out a survey. And people were, they had him at that point. They couldn't turn left, couldn't turn right. They were stuck. They had to go through this checkpoint. So
and Australia.
Yeah, in Australia.
Australia's
jumped on the bikie culture so bad over there. It's guilt by association. People are losing their homes, families are being broken up, all kinds of stuff's going on over there. But the reason...
That's messed up.
Yeah, and then asking them questions about road safety, do a road survey, and then the real reason comes out, so how much do you know about the VAD law, which is what I'm telling you? And it's going after, like right now they're going after all the patch holders. And we have a thing going on in California, which is the same thing that's going on there, but it's one particular club. And the thing we have going now is called Save the Patch. So we've got attorneys from all over the world. We've got people that are behind it. We've been doing fundraisers have been being done to help fight this. And they had taken the club's colors once before, but they got them back because they violated their rights when they took them. So now it's been given to a judge who's pro-police, pro-government. So he's basically, they're trying to get him recused, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But it's like that old saying, you know, they came for me, you know, and I was, you know, and I didn't care, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, and then when it came time to grab you, nobody was there to care for you, you know. But that's the way it's happens. Whatever happens in Australia goes to Canada and then comes here. If it lands on the West Coast, it's going to, by 90 days, 2 months, 60 days, 90 days, it's hidden to the East Coast. We had a thing go on. I belong to a group of bikers called Bikers of Lesser Tolerance. And basically we fight silly laws. I mean, if you were riding a motorcycle and I pulled you over and said, I don't like the helmet you're wearing, take it off, let me see it, what would you do?
God, good question. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, the first response should be, Officer, why did you stop me? Well, I don't like the helmet you're wearing. Can you take it off so I can see it, please? Do you have a warrant, officer? If you do not have a warrant, I do not give up my Fourth Amendment rights to search and seizure. Then you give him another option. Because he's already probably looked at two or three things before he's pulled you over. But we're getting away from the Utopia show, and I want to go back to that.
That's all right. That's okay. It's fascinating. It's almost like Big Brother, you know, all over again.
Absolutely.
But
your cell phone, Steve, when you turned it on, or you charge it, you know there's two batteries in your phone?
Didn't know that.
Okay. Did you take out the second battery?
They keep tracks on you. I haven't, honestly, but I did know about it.
Yeah, it's what it does is it holds your memory and everything. It also activates your GPS. Even if you turned it off, it's still on.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, they have a box now. It's called a Stingray box. They can pull up outside your office there and grab everybody's information in the building off their cell phones.
Wow, that's amazing.
So yeah, if my perfect utopia would be none of that bullshit. But
exactly.
Well,
that was my
concern with what I said. Would there be any legal repercussions to protect the people on the show because of the biker culture being in the limelight or the hot spot, or so to say, and the fact that they round up whoever they want and they slap that guilty by association on you, and then you're screwed. You basically.
Right.
At their hands, unless you've got, you know, a good legal team or whatever. And that was without putting it out there. Now it's out there. that was my concern because, you know, if a person is willing to take on this task and air their views, again, you know, would you be willing to, because with one, they can take all 15. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
that was my concern because I would hate to see this show set up to be a positive thing and then because you have one particular or two particular individuals that either could be associates of or members of or whatever, they could come in and round everybody up, you know?
Right.
And again, have you guys, like, sat down and addressed that issue? Because
I hate to see any of you guys
or anybody else, you know, get caught up in that type of baloney.
Right. No, it's a very valid concern. But, you know, as you know, Fox has an incredible legal team that's, you know, they're working on all the intricate details of questions just like that, of how to protect these 15 individuals who have agreed to go on television and tell the truth. So, you know, there definitely will be many discussions about that and things put into play to protect them, because we do want people to be able to feel free to speak their truth.
Now, one question that still revolves around this: after the season ends, should, you know, you pick 15 new people every season, or, you know, the last man standing, like how like some of these other shows do, after their time on the show, should there be any legal repercussions on them for airing their views? Will the Fox team still be able to represent them? Because they put forth what they felt for the network, will the network protect them after they're gone?
Oh, sorry. There you're back. Sorry, I think I lost you there for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Basically, what she was saying was that if you had people on the show and something happened to them after the show, would they still be represented by your legal team? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hold on, Eunice. We might have lost those guys.
Oh, that stinks. Right in an important question, too.
I might have lost them.
Yeah, or you might have somebody cut them short.
Well, maybe, but he's gonna have to call back. If you can hear me, Steve, hang up and dial back.
Right.
Or we can do it this way. Let me do it this way. Let me see if I can get this to work. So give me your Eunice.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello, Steve?
No, who are you looking for, Steve?
Yeah, I'm looking for Steve. I had him on the air on the radio show and we lost him, so I was calling this number back.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Can I ask who's calling?
Tell him it's Philip, but if you could just tell him to hang up and call me back, that would be great.
Okay.
He's got the number.
We'll do.
Yes. Hey, that, it's not, I've been listening.
Uh-huh.
It sounds real good, you know. It's going to need a lot of different people to get something like that going, you know. And it should be, you know, a mixture of a lot of them. I just wanted to let you know, Phil, I am in the hospital.
What's wrong now?
I have some blood clots.
Wow. You're not picking on the nurses again, are you?
No, the doctors.
Okay.
The doctors, you have to tell them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm back. Sorry, I think I lost you there, but I called back in.
Hey, perfect.
Okay.
So,
I just heard. I'm so sorry you're in the hospital. I just heard that, so I hope you're feeling better.
No. That's all right. I'm just the elder of the bunch. You know.
Elder and wiser, I'm sure.
Well, I'm the elder of the bunch. I put my finger into everything. Sockets, brains, you know, the whole bit.
Hey, let me tell you a little bit about this lady. She walks around with a baseball bat.
Either that or she's got a 38 special locked and loaded somewhere.
Well, that happens to be with the people that I deal with at the State House. You know, I have a reputation of being a ball buster, so they all cross their legs when I walk in to the State House.
But
you have to do
I don't
want
to get too much. We're right in the middle of that. This conversation, I don't want to get too much off.
No, I was. I want to hear it. I really want to hear him.
Okay.
So the question that I asked was, after the people leave the program, will Fox, their lawyer team, should something arise, like 6 months after they're off the show, is their legal team still going to protect them?
You know, it's also a very good question. I don't have a definitive answer to that, but I feel very confident that these discussions are happening right now with Fox and their legal team. As you know, Fox has an extremely powerful legal team, and I can't imagine them throwing people to the wolves that have been on the show or letting something like this to happen to them because they were brave enough to go and tell the truth. So I don't have a definitive answer, but I would imagine that there will be something in play that would help protect people for being able to go on TV and use their freedom of speech to tell the truth.
Yeah, because that's, you know, that reason right there is a lot of why people cannot penetrate the biker culture, and we can sniff out phonies faster than anybody knows with. And when you smell a phony, you zip your lips, you know,
right,
because
right.
There's so many people that want to make a fast buck to roll over on people that are not hurting anybody. They're just very opinionated. And, you know, that's, you know, like I said, I addressed my concerns, and I hope that, you know, all of them will be addressed, met, that the show goes off without a hitch, and, you know, it'll be very interesting to watch.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I same here.
Ryan, you're up next. Did you have any questions for Steve?
I do. Hey, this is Ryan. I'm in Colorado with KR Production.
Oh, hey, Ryan.
Hey, I was reading through on your website here a little bit about it, going through the casting and the about section, all of that type of stuff. Now, it seems that any time you've got a big organization or a media company behind a project, in some way or another, it becomes a project that is somewhat biased to the thought process of the team that's behind it. What all have you put into play to keep that from being the case in this situation where, you know, like a lot of these reality shows that are unscripted, you know, they've got people in there kind of stirring the pot to develop some drama. Have you done anything along those lines to minimize that or cut it out completely so that it is a truly unscripted show?
Right. Well, and also a very good question, too. But the thing that we really have with this show that's different is we have John Dumal, the creator. I mean, this is his baby. This is his brainchild. And he truly wants this to be an authentic experience. He wants it to be an authentic show with you know, really seeing what happens when you put people together. So there won't be manipulation. There won't be tricky editing. It's really going to be watching these individuals start from scratch and see what they can create, or, you know, or if they can create anything. It could be that it doesn't work. I think that's the fun of it, is it's still the unknown element.
Okay. Are they inside of a certain restricted area, like they have so many acres of which they can roam around in, or is it pretty much just an open terrain to do whatever?
You know, it will be. I'm not 100% sure because I know they're still locking in locations, but it will be pretty much. They will be in an area that's restricted, and it's mostly for their safety more than anything, because Looky Loos will certainly want to come and see the pioneers of Utopia, and they will be restricted within those limitations. But you know, what kind of boundaries they have, you know, I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Yeah, that was my next question, was about people that are just going to wander onto set for their 15 minutes of fame. You know, it seems like everybody with, you know, that computer
right.
attached to their hip these days can find out just about anything.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I wasn't sure if this was going to have complete film crews, or if you're going to have, like, in Hunger Games or any of those type shows where they have, you know, cameras spontaneously put around the facility that they can switch to from a main control center.
Right, and you know, it's from my understanding, it'll be a combination, because one element to this show is that it will be very interactive on the internet, where people can log in at any time and watch the pioneers and see what's going on from a multitude of cameras that have already been preset in the locations. So I would say definitely it will be a combination of the two. It will be partially film crews following, but partially cameras already set up that people can log into on the internet and watch at any time.
Okay. Sounds like a heck of an ordeal. I wish you luck with all of that. It's going to be quite the process.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for your question, Ryan.
Well, absolutely.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Some of the people that are muted, I'm going to mute you, but I'll be back. Hello, I think this is Boston 508. Did you want to talk, or did you have any questions for Steve, or did you just want to listen? And once? Okay. You know, everybody's asking the really pertinent questions.
Great questions all around.
Can you divulge some of the places they're looking at, or no?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I mean, they've kept it a secret even from us. So I know they're looking at places that have pretty decent climates, because if people are there for a year and they have limited amenities, they certainly don't want people to freeze to death in the winter or things like that. So that's all I do know. They are looking for places that have milder climates, which I guess you could do the math and figure out in the U.S. where that might be.
I found that climate 30 years ago while I was in the Marine Corps, and I never left.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's just going back to. Let me see here. Okay, so by unscripted, is it just going to be whatever people say off the top of their heads, or?
Absolutely. It'll basically be whatever happens. That's what we'll document. I mean, it's really like a docuseries. Whatever this group encounters, whatever they decide, whatever they set into motion, that's what we'll follow. That's what we'll, you know, air to the public.
Okay, and this is to all people of all walks of life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Pretty much some of the questions that I was thinking about, people have already asked.
Well, no, great, really great questions. And, you know, as I said, I'm so happy to be talking to you guys, because, you know, we do want the real deal here.
Yeah, and I got a couple, like I said, I have a couple of guys. I know one guy that would, this guy's worth a wealth of knowledge. Let me tell you, when there's things going on in the biker world and people need advice, they call this guy first. And basically I've been under his tutelage for the last close to 30 years now, so pretty much we both got a handle on everything that's going on. But what I told JP was that you guys, I give you airtime whenever. I usually do this on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but because of the Sons of Anarchy, I have they're started to film right now, so everybody's tied up. Otherwise, I do a Wednesday night show called the Sam Crow Radio Show.
Gotcha.
I bring on one of the people from the show. They're kind of sworn to see, and people, you know, I get the, can you send me a phone number? We just got two people from Bulgaria joined us, as well as a couple of guys from Singapore.
Wow.
And New Zealand checked in with five people. Brazil, we have 173 people. Germany, we're just over 5,000. But I could give you guys, if you want to come back, and I guess this is almost 45 minutes, almost an hour. Anytime you guys want to come back, or somebody else wants to come on and talk, you've got the rest of the month of June, which is the 11th, 12th through the 26th. And then July, and this show is supposed to air started in September.
Yeah, our hope are to have the 15 chosen. They would move into the encampment late August, and filming would start in September. So that's the game plan so far.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, it's like I said, you guys can have all the time you want, and whoever wants to call in, and is there going to be any merchandise or anything people can order, or are you going to wait and see how it goes first?
You know, I think it's going to be up to the 15 pioneers. I think it'll be up to their ingenuity, what they can decide that's worthy that they can sell, because it could be a situation where, you know, where they're placed, maybe there's fruits and berries, and they can make jams. I mean, it really could be an array of things. That's what's going to be fun to watch, is what these people come up with and what they're able to sell.
Okay. Gotcha on that one.
I appreciate you guys inviting us back. We absolutely, we really appreciate it, and we're happy to be here.
Yeah, no, and like I said, you guys are welcome anytime. As JP, I told him I wanted a bribe. I think he remembers, but it's supposed to be a large.
I'm going to remind him. He's right here with me, so.
And then, you or JP or Kristen wants to come on next week, that'd be great.
All right, absolutely. I think we would. That'd be fantastic. Thank you very much, Bill. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, just hold on. He sent me an instant message. Let's see if he's got any questions real quick before you go. Hello, George. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing terrible on the right coast, brother. I'm terrible. I just came in on this. Just tried beating up the mayor down here. I didn't even catch the topic, brother.
What this is is Steve. He's one of the casting producers for a new show. They're going to get people from walks of life and be able to talk about or build a new society. So what I would suggest is if you call back or check it out tomorrow and go to the archives and check out the show,
right.
And I'll have back next week if you have any questions, or I'll give you the link now where if you got time for a year and you want to try out for the show, you can go on utopiatvcasting.com and fill out the application. Do they need to address it to anybody, Steve, or can they just send it in?
No, actually, if they just send it in, it'll come directly to us.
Okay.
This is being produced by Fox or independent producer?
This is actually Fox TV.
Right. I'll definitely check into that. Like I said, I just came. I'm fighting a battle over here on the right coast, and this is... So, there's a lot of crazy things happened today, brother. A lot of things, crazy things. But I don't want to cut this gentleman short. You know, getting ignored by the FBI, come down today, speak with me. And have you seen the past couple of posts I put up, Phil?
Okay, hold on to that thought, George.
Okay.
Steve, so like I said, if you guys just let me know a day ahead of time who it's going to be, and then we'll talk like we did today, Steve. And then I'm sorry, I was kind of rude. I was trying; it was too close to showtime. And I apologize.
No worries. I really appreciate it, and we'll let you know a day ahead of time, and see who it'll be, and we'll come back. We really appreciate it.
Okay, perfect. And,
all right, Bill. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Anytime.
All righty. Talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, George, you're up. Tell us what happened today. Start from the beginning.
This is fucking crazy. Hey, while we're talking, go to baystateexaminer.com and check out some videos that have just been released of the Fall River Professional Standards Unit. Cops,
what was that again? Can you send me that in a link, please?
I will do that. I think I'm working off of my phone over here. We got video on here. Cops with switchblades. Refusing to take complaints from reporters from the Bay State Examiner. Completely ignoring the Freedom of Information Act. This past week, last Friday, I received the independent investigation that the chief of police had ordered. Back from Ken Bell and Associates out of Cranston, Rhode Island. We were kind of hesitant about what this gentleman was going to do, being a retired state police officer, having gone to the same college as to Chief Racine down here.
Huh?
Kyle, no, no problem. I called him up, talked with him for a bit, and he told I told him my concerns and everybody else's. So, are we going to get an unbiased report? He said, let me tell you, they already have the report. He said, when you read the report. Well, page 3 of the report, the executive summary, I'm going to skip the first paragraph. It means absolutely nothing. It just tells about during the month of April they initiated an examination. KBA conducted research to determine the methods used to wipe data from iPhones. They also conducted several tests on another iPhone with the same operating system. So based on this research and information obtained through the Fall River Police Department to include police reports and verbal statements, KBA, that's Ken Bell and Associates, concluded that an internal iPhone security feature wiped the iPhone in question. This iPhone feature wipes the phone after the password has been incorrectly entered 10 times. In addition, this analysis revealed that the iPhone data was wiped prior to the date and time the iPhone was reset to factory settings. The iPhone was restored to factory settings on January 8, 2014 at 3:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when the phone communicated with a computer that with iTunes installed. This date and time coincides with the date and time that a detective from the Fall River Police Department initiated a forensic examination of the phone. Now, this is the same, the detective that did this is Detective Sergeant Kevin Medeiros, who did the supplemental narrative stating on January 8th, Kevin Medeiros, while assigned to the IIT unit, received information there was a search warrant issued for a forensic examination regarding cell phones related to this case. After reviewing case details, I met with Detective Larry Ferrero. They began to conduct a search on the phones, but the iPhone was password protected. The password would not allow us access to the phone in order to connect it to the cell biological analyzer. That's lie number one. Because if you go to that site, it tells you you can access that phone without the password. It just limits what you can extract from it.
Uh-huh.
It goes on. This is the supplemental narrative that the detective who reset my phone put out. Now this report has no date or time on it. They can conveniently put it where they want in their investigation. It goes on to say how I gave Lieutenant Tetrault my password on January 15th. Phone was already wiped out by then. After further review of the device information, said it had gone through a factory restore on January 8, 2014. He has 8:01, which is bullshit, p.m. The iPhone was in the Fall River Police Department evidence vault and was not in anyone's possession. No, because it was in his possession at 3:01. With my training, knowledge, and experience in the information technology field, coupled with the facts of this case, I understand why the iPhone is in its factory state. Through the iCloud service, there are several types of apps, such as iMobile, iPhone, that allow an iPhone owner to connect the Apple devices to a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Once connected to cloud, they can do a factory restore. Therefore, it is plausible that the owner of the phone performed the factory restore through the iCloud. This fucking idiot who reset my phone on January 8th goes on to say with his training, knowledge, and experience, he knows why the phone was reset. You fucking liar, you reset it.
Yeah.
And somebody else, they didn't pocket dial somebody. To put a code in, a four-digit code, you hit four buttons, then you hit enter. You did it 10 fucking times. Fall River Chief of Police Dan Racine says it was not done maliciously.
Oh, bullshit, man. Bullshit. Being that I'm right here with you,
That's the biggest crock of crap I've ever heard. That fucking Fall River Mass, folks, police department is one of the most corrupt fucking organizations this side of the East Coast. And with Mayor Flanagan at the fucking helm. And George, you gotta keep on pushing forward with this, because this is the biggest crock of shit, and they're all gonna tag team you, and it's probably gonna get worse before it gets better, but you stay the course, man, because your rights have been severely fucking violated.
Chief of Police, I attended the budget meeting, the finance meeting last night at City Hall, only because I knew the mayor was gonna be there, and I'm gonna get up. You know, I still put my name on the input, the people from the outside speaking. And I was the third speaker. The lady before me, she caught me out in the hall and got me all choked up with the support. Don't know this lady from a hole in the wall, you know. And the outcome of other people around here. Now, she got done speaking, I get up. Two of the city councilors were absent. The other ones, they sat there just staring. Because, you know, it's got to be a budget issue. Okay, well, how much fucking money did they have to waste? Did they waste between January 6th and after the illegal arrest through now? They've been pointing their fingers at me, adamant about what's going on. They're pushing that. You know, I did it, insinuating I did it. This detective, who reset my phone on January 8th, who then further puts in his report, which was written up, I don't know, it was after the 15th of January, because of his knowledge and experience, he knows why it was set back, and he insinuated that it was me. The fucking chief has the balls, to say that I did it, or to say that it wasn't done maliciously.
Well, here's
no, he came up. Hang on, he came up behind me. This is before I was even got to speak. Hey, George, I just turned my right fist balled up fucking automatically, and I looked at him. It was a full council chambers. I said, Dan, you are a disgrace to this city. I said, Chief, you are a disgrace. And I said it loud enough. People were hearing it. Get away from me. Whoa, no. I said, you are fucking disgusting. And I had the report in my hand. How can you say this wasn't done maliciously? I'm not going to talk about this here. Come out of the hall. I'm going fucking nowhere with you. He don't know how close I come to him. Balling up and just fucking smacking him in the mouth. But, you know, I wouldn't have done it maliciously.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, the cop that they're, you know, putting in the limelight right now, and the chief's saying that it wasn't done maliciously. Well, okay then. So what you're saying is that your cop is an IT guy and he knows what he's doing. So either he knew what he was doing or he didn't know what he was doing. And if he didn't know what he was doing, why was he putting in a password 10 damn times? You know, he's not.
Why is he in that fucking job?
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't work for Apple. He cannot give any concrete information except for any information that possibly could have been passed down. So, yes, it was maliciously done. And, yes, he had no right, you know, attempting a password 10-plus fucking times or whatever, you know. And that's just a crock of shit. They're looking for any fucking scapegoat to ride out on and, you know, It's a crock of shit is what it is, because they want to silence your voice. They want to get a, you know, what's a pebble and turn it over to be a big fucking stone, you know, to dump in your lap. And don't let them, man. Don't let them do it, because let me tell you something. I'm from this area my whole life, with the exception of living in the Midwest for 10-plus years. And your name is the hot topic in every fucking donut shop. People I talk to on Facebook, people in casual conversation in the malls, people know your name. They know what's going on. And the thing is that Fall River itself has been so ignorant with bowing down to these fucking puke bastards. It's about goddamn time that somebody stands up to them. And, you know, people just need to keep doing that, because the more people cower down and bow down to these malicious fucks who run the city, okay, they're going to continue to take away your rights because that's what they do. And, you know, George, I'm telling you from like the moment I first read one of the articles that revolved around you to the moment I contacted you, now a couple of weeks have gone by, and, man, your name is everywhere like a hot cup of coffee in Fall River. You are the topic of discussion. So keep pushing this forward and make sure that every individual in Fall River knows your name now, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, because you're setting a platform for people not to be afraid, for people to stand up, that the Constitution and the bylaws of the Constitution and your civil rights and everything that our wonderful vets have fought for to forge this country is being taken away every single minute of every single day because more people are not like you. They would rather be afraid. As long as you're within your rights, they cannot, you know, they throw you in jail overnight, give you a hard fucking time, but they can't keep you. They cannot keep you if you know what the fuck is going on. And more people need to understand. They need to follow in your footsteps, man. Don't back down from this whatsoever. Seriously, you know.
I'm getting a lot of respect. Young people, older people, and I think last night I flipped a couple of people. They're kind of sitting on a fence, and it's, you know, it's down at City Hall, and they're listening to me speak with somebody else, and they come up and, well, I didn't realize it was like that. Yes.
That's why
I posted my whole case online right from the rip. This is for everybody to see. Now, tonight at the meeting, hang on one second, please. Tonight at the meeting, I was talking to city councilors. Well, at first, the old fucking Funkigan was there. My first question was, Mayor, when are you going to order an outside investigation? And old Baldy Rego, right from the rip, oh, the wrong platform. Dude, shut the fuck up. You know? And then I was speaking with them, but then I just started speaking to the people out in the audience, the people that were there. And I'm not asking anybody for any favors. I'm not asking anybody in the politics or our political world over here to do anything that they should not be doing. The fucking mayor has got to get off his slack ass, stay out of the fucking hot tub in his office, stay out of the fucking legal department with his girlfriend, or off of fucking Jenk Street, and do his fucking job.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, a very powerful thing because the city is so depressed is that, like you said, you know, you're reaching the younger audience because the younger people, you know, you're setting a platform for the younger people, you know, and a lot of them are stereotyped with the way the economy is going and everything. But you're setting a platform for them to learn, for them to go back to their history roots as to what their rights are, you know, and to not be afraid and to stand up for what they believe in and, you know, within the lines of the laws, et cetera, you know, that revolve to their protection. But it's a good thing because if you really talk to some of the younger people, age category anywhere from 19 to 30, they're very ignorant to the fact of what their rights are because history class is no longer about your Constitution, and that's a whole nother subject. But the thing is that, you know, continue getting out there and talking with people and posting on Facebook because that gets the word out. And, you know, like I said, you're a hot ticket right now. You are the topic of conversation. No matter where you go, there's somebody mentioning your name or what's at hand. And the thing is with the city council, it's going to boil down to this. This is a topic that affects every single citizen within that city. It affects every single citizen within every state of these United States. And all it takes is one person to change the opinion of many and to stand up for your rights. And the thing with the city council is they're now looking at, wait a minute, this addresses a bunch of people, and a bunch of people are going to start coming forward for this. They work for us. So yep. In order to be in our good grace, some of them have to side with you and realize that what's going on is fucking wrong, because they're going to want their vote. They're going to want their votes, you know, and they're going to want to be known as the politician that works hand-in-hand with the people. So, again, you know, I can't reiterate enough, do not back down from this, because it's becoming a really powerful thing over here, you know, in this section. And, you know, I can't pat you on the back enough, because I have not heard anything negative at all, nothing, not. You know, questioning your mental state, questioning if you're, you know, one of the local drug addicts, not questioning anything. It's all positive stuff. And a lot of it is, I can't believe that George is going up against, you know, the mayor and the chief and this, that, and the other. And those are good things to hear, because you know what? Them motherfuckers work for us. We pay their fucking paychecks. And you know what? They need to be following the fucking laws that they swore to upon, you know, entering the job that they do. It's not just rearrange it for who they see fucking fit, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I give you a lot of respect, because you're going up against the most corrupt group of fucking people that, you know, starts from the bottom of the sewer all the way up to the top of the cesspool, you know? And they're horrible. They really are.
What's funny is in Fall River, the shit's rolling uphill.
Yeah, pretty.
The shit's starting down at the fucking bottom, and it's rolling uphill. And I don't know. I invited a bunch of my Facebook fans out on to listen to the show tonight, as I always do. And a bunch of them kicked back, said that they were going to be listening. And I hope they are. And that's all. I'm asking people, if I send something to you, please share it. Don't be embarrassed. I've got some people, they tell you, I post it on my page. And then because it's a little bit controversial, but it's the fucking truth. It's the truth. Just leave it there. It's not stupid, because when it comes around to happening to you, it's going to be a whole different story. You know?
Hey, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Oh hell yeah! I saw that scan at the report on the from Ken Bell and Associates, and it's funny how the fucking police department sent it out to all the media before I could pick it up. Gotta love it.
Wow.
Dan Winhill, if you go over to the Bay State Examiner, BAYSTATE Examiner.com.
Yes, it's spelt as is on Facebook too, Bay State Examiner, you know. So.
Well, Maya just posted some videos of the professional standards people. March 28th, when I went down to hit him with the court order to get my phone back, we got fucking lied to. She wanted to file a complaint against an officer. They came down. They said, there is no complaint. The cop that came down with the evidence bag to give me my phone, he said, he goes to hand it to me. I said, nope, we want to examine it. Has us go in this interview room. Thank you. And Maya, I love you, baby. She has her fucking, she's all camered up. And the cop pulls out a fucking switchblade. Pops, boom, pops the button. He's going to open up the bag. Dude, that's a fucking switchblade. Whoa, the knife got closed. He couldn't run out that door quick enough to come back with a pair of blue-handled scissors. What the fuck is wrong with this picture? Now, they lied and they lied and they lied to us. You know, it's just unreal. You try to file a complaint against another officer. You had Lieutenant Fucktado there. Running away. I'm not going to talk on camera. No, I'm sitting there with a camcorder. I'm sitting away from Maya. Maya walked up to him. She wanted to ask him a couple more questions. Well, if you're going to videotape, I'm just going to walk away. She shut her camera down. He looks over at me. I'm about 20 feet away from him. I have no phone, no camera pointing his way. Nothing at all. I'm just looking. Are you videotaping me? Are you recording me? Does it look like I'm fucking recording you? Are you recording me? This guy's losing his mind. We hit a nerve somewhere. And I'm going to keep hitting fucking nerves with these people. Last night, after I got done speaking, I started walking out, and the chief was out there. There's a bunch of people in the lobby. I looked right at him again. I'm not yelling, not getting belligerent. I said, Dan, you're a disgrace. You disappoint me. I knew him when he was a snot-nosed rookie. He said, give him a chance. He's going to do the right thing. How the fuck can you justify? How can you justify not maliciously? This was not, my phone was not done, erased maliciously. How the fuck can you do, your report tells you it was. Well, I'm not going to talk to you. I'll talk to you in private. So we went downstairs. Well, I did change the policy. You know, nobody's going to get arrested for this anymore. Who gives a fuck? You violated my rights, and there's four other cases or five other cases since 2011 that have come to light over here.
I'm gonna have some more. I just recently, I'm gonna have some free time coming my way, and I'm gonna land up going to a few of the meetings you attend.
That'd be killer. You know,
yeah,
try to get some other people.
And that's exactly what I'll do. I won't come one person. I'll come a couple of people, and the views of more, you know, are better than the views of one, because not only are they stepping on your rights, they're stepping on mine and everybody else's, because they want to squash this, make it something that people barely remember. Fuck that. Blow it out of the water.
I need four more Fall River residents to sign up right after me on the public input and then just turn their time over to me, because they keep stroking me. I'm the only fucking person that they hold right to that 3 minutes. You know, you got 3 minutes to talk. This fucking guy's been sitting up here talking for about 20 minutes tonight. I don't know if he's done a lot of bad things in his life and this and that, and he wants to apologize to the city. This guy went on for almost a half hour. Granted, hey, Jason, good luck. If you're listening, you know, I hope you have straightened your life out. But as soon as George Thompson gets up there, we got three minutes. Oh yeah, isn't that the story of my life?
I've been to a couple of school committee meetings advocating for my son's school and different things like that. And how can you address? And it's true about the 3 minute policy. How can you address any topic at hand? You know, speaking clearly, speaking rationally, getting your point across in 3 minutes. That's the biggest crock of crap. Again, at the taxpayer's dime, it's hurry the person in that's creating your paycheck and move them right along, because you pacified them for their 3 minutes. And
I could understand if I was just up there and it was just like bullshit.
Yep.
I'm fucking innocent. I'm totally fucking innocent. Have been from the beginning. The cops have been doing nothing but trying to push this on and say, I did this. They call for an external investigation, independent investigation. They got it. The investigation comes back right to them. What's a waste of money?
Hey,
you
Phil.
You fucking order all this?
Wait a minute, George.
Yep.
Phil, I have a question for you. With George wanting an independent investigation, and nobody seems to be doing this, could a peaceful gathering of people protesting outside the city hall or the police department be safely conducted in a situation
to get a permit.
Like this way? A permit.
Make sure you don't have a permit.
No. I can get enough mainstream media down here covering it.
Yeah, but you would still, to protect the people that could rally with you, which, you know, I've got quite a few people in my pocket on this.
I think we could get away with it without a permit. Just like when they were out there before the city council meeting, talking for the firefighters.
The reason I said check and see if you need a permit, so none of you get arrested for loitering.
Arrested. Yeah. Well, that was my concern, because, you know, once you get more than you picketing, then they're going to know that there's a lot of people who stand by what you're saying. And the thing is to protect the people that will advocate for you, that will stand out there with signs. You know, we want an independent investigation done on this. We want this, that, and the other. but it's to protect your people, because if you've got your people protected, they're going to stand by you. But if there's a chance that they could get arrested, getting arrested can lose job, you know, it creates bad media press, you know, you don't want that in your pocket. So
I would have media, I can bring the media down there.
Right, but the thing is that media is all, who's
media has the license to do that. They don't have to talk to anybody about getting a license. If you get people down there, I suggest you check out and make sure that you won't get arrested for loitering and that you're not protesting with signs within a certain perimeter of that building. They can arrest you for that, too. So you
The day after the marathon, a bunch of the public was out here with support the Fall River firefighters because of the scumbag mayor's trying to bring our firefighting force down to below standards for the amount of people that we have. He's trying to make some major cuts because he screwed up all along, and now we don't have the money for them, and that's a big part of the budget right now.
The fire department is a totally different thing than what you're dealing with this.
I have a lot of support also with these same people who I believe would come down.
I totally understand that, but you got to understand what me and Phil are saying. Whoever you have support you, you know, during this time, you need to keep them protected. And if it means pulling a permit or it means doing some research, how far away from the building do you have to be? Where can people safely picket to get the message across? You need to do that for them. So when they come forward to you, you can say, look, here's the permit, here's the permit. Here's the permit. Here's, you know, we know how many feet we're supposed to be. And, you know, we're not going to disturb what doesn't, you know, need to be disturbed. And that's where the power comes in numbers, because if you've got your people protected, more people are apt to join you.
I understand what you're saying, you need to
be able to, you know, because I personally think you're not going to get anywhere screaming at City Hall about an independent investigation.
I don't scream, I speak, I do no yelling. That's one thing that will turn them away so quick.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, if you,
you know,
do this...
Shouldn't the Constitution be our permit?
No.
George, that's...
Not getting
I,
it.
That's a,
George, you're
yeah,
not
I,
getting
I
it.
Am. I am. I am. I'm being sarcastic.
Look, let me tell you this, okay? Let me tell you this. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get 40 or 50 people out there. Now... They already got a hard on for you. They're looking for you to fuck up so they can hammer you. And this will be their opportunity unless you check out if you need permits, if they have a permit, how far away you have to be from the building to hold the signs. If you have so many people in one area, do you need horses? Do you need security? Do you need a cop to stand there? You know what I mean? You got to check all that shit. Because if you don't, they got you.
I will be in contact with some City Hall insiders tomorrow.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
find out about that, George. Because if we could get this legally within the guidelines, I will definitely stand out there with you. Absolutely. But like I said, I don't. You know, me along with several hundred different people. We want to be able to do this so we don't look like a bunch of hooligans. We don't look like a bunch of badmouths. You know, if we stay within the law's guidelines, which are going to protect you, me, and everybody, you know, at hand, you can do this, you know, but you just got to make sure all your T's are crossed, all your I's are dotted, and I guarantee by taking a stand like that, everybody in the city is going to be alert to what's going on. It's going to create the pressure on the chief, the pressure on the mayor, because people are going to hound them. You know, what the fuck is up with this? You won't give us the answers we need. And they need to know that it's just not you. There's many different other people that feel the same way. But you need to guarantee your people that when they come out to stand up for you, that no bullshit's going to happen, you know?
Yep, gotcha. Oh, tomorrow. I'll be on the phone first thing. I've got just a couple of city councilors' numbers. Who they are behind me.
Hold that thought for a second. I got to take a break.
Yes, sir.
While I'm doing that, let me play this song. This one's Mike P. Never and George. This kind, you'll get the meaning of this when you hear this song. Never Ride Alone.
Yes, sir.
My other question to you is, somebody needs to turn down the sound in the background.
Bob?
George?
Yes, sir. Yep. Hello, Phil.
Hello. My question to you is, okay, now, you're documenting everything. Have you talked to an attorney? Have you talked to the attorney?
I'm meeting with my attorney who dealt with my criminal case, also does lawsuits. And I talked with him tonight just before I went to the city council meeting and told him, look, we got to take the next step.
You talked to the ACLU?
I talked with Jess from the Civil Liberties Union today. They updated her. I've got to call her back. I'll be speaking with her again tomorrow afternoon. They'll afford. They'll give me a lawyer. I've got my lawyer who's been with this case through the rip, and he does have the balls to go against these people. So I'm kind of tossed between: do I just keep my lawyer, or do I go with a Civil Liberties Union lawyer? And you know, my lawyer, I believe my lawyer is very capable, and that's why I want to talk with Jess tomorrow. I don't know if they've she's already told me that, you know, they would come behind me. But, you know, hey, there's only so much money that's going around.
The other thing I was going to tell you is, you know, when you don't get any cooperation from a Freedom of Information Act?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Carlos,
Then the next step is, the next step, the people that deal with that is the Department of Justice.
I was told the Attorney General. Well, Carlos Miller from Photography is Not a Crime. Carlos is in the process of hiring some attorneys out of Boston because he's being ignored. Bay State Examiner, they're also filing action because they're being ignored.
That's not what my question was. My question to you was, have you contacted the Department of Justice because they investigate police departments?
I've tried. I've got to do some more digging for a number. I can't get one.
All you got to do is look up the Department of Justice. You call them up.
I think
all
I
got to do.
I think I might have. And at one point, and they said there was nothing. But I am going. I've spoken with so many people. I can ask this fucking clown, the fucking big FBI fucking guy here today. Who does this? Why does your fucking website talk about the color of blue, and that it's a federal crime for him for me to be arrested for some civil rights, you know, violating my rights? Well, that's different. I damn near threw this motherfucker out. You know, your website, we're going back to this. Well, your website talks about being your rights being violated by the police department, civil rights. There's evidence tampering here, and you don't do this?
Uh-huh.
You know, I've just been through so many different channels, so I'll do that again tomorrow.
Are you just talking to an agent, or are you talking to a supervisor?
I've tried talking with everybody. Today was an agent. I mean, you can't even get people's names on. When you call the FBI, you can't even, they just say, duty agent. You speak with the duty agent. Well, can I have your name? Well, we don't do that.
Get a business card from the guy?
I didn't. Didn't have one on him.
Oh, bullshit. They have to give you one. It's the law.
Didn't have one on him. Just like Maya, if you look over at that Bay State link I sent you.
What about the Bay City link? I've been through this before. I'm telling you what to do, and you're not listening. They cannot walk away from you without giving you a business card or pulling out a pen and a piece of paper and giving you their name and their badge or their shield number. They cannot do it.
If you watch them videos that we just posted, we have four other police officers that are doing it on camera.
That's what I'm telling you. You need to call the Department of Justice. You need to sit down and write down all the violations that you think are going on right now that they're doing to you. You sit down, you write them all out, you call the Department of Justice, you don't want to talk to anybody. You want to make an appointment. You want to come down and see somebody in person, and you take all the paperwork with you.
Yeah, but I'm an hour away from Boston. That's where everything's up in Boston, and I don't even have wheels. I'm limited. I'm very limited. I'm living below the fucking poverty level right now, brother. I've been fighting for disability, and I'm surviving. I'm not even living.
If I didn't live 3,000 miles away, I'd give you a ride. But what I'm telling you is, someone there that knows your case, that knows you, that wants to help, now is the time to call bullshit and say, hey, I need a ride to the Department of Justice in Boston, or I need a ride to the FBI building in Boston. If you're willing to stand here and tell me about you want to be involved in this, okay, we're going to start rolling today. You can be right next to me while this rolls out. That's what you need to do.
Yep.
And he's right about, like, the business card aspect, because a couple of times my little run-ins with the lovely Fall River Police Department, I've asked, give me your business card. I want to know who you are. What's your badge number? And they're like, no. They don't give that up.
Oh, yeah, we've got it on videotape. Maya just posted it as a 30-minute compilation of all police violations on Bay State Examiner.
Phil, they're quite notorious for running their mouth all over you. And
are any one of you calling a supervisor when you do that?
I try to speak with a supervisor.
Oh, I did.
We had captains walking away from us. And I believe it was a captain that refused to give her his card. She was trying to file a fucking complaint with Internal Affairs. The cops said there is no complaint.
Yeah, I had almost the same.
She's asking them why they haven't released information to the Bay State Examiner. Well, to us. Well, we'll get it to you.
By federal law. Do I have to mute you guys to get a word in edgewise?
Speak.
Okay. If you fill out a United States Department of Justice information request, they have 10 days to answer you. If you sent one to the Boston, whoever these guys are, the police department, you send it to them, they got 10 days to answer you. Whether they tell you to go pound sand or whatever, they have to answer you within the 10 days. If you don't get an answer in the 10 days, then you call the Department of Justice. You file a complaint with the Department of Justice, but you don't do it over the phone. You don't do it over the computer. You go down and you get a live person. They will talk to you. They will give you their information. They will tell you who they are. I'm telling you how to do this so you don't get fucked and arrested.
Yep.
I've been doing this for 30 fucking years. These guys out here, when they grab me, when they tell me they're going to charge me with obstruction, I tell them, handcuff me and let's go now because I got nothing to do for the next fucking 8 hours.
Right. You know.
What you're doing and what you're talking about when you do this. If you go on my blog and you type in there Department of Justice, it tells you how to fill out the complaint. And it also tells you to make 2 copies and walk in and hand them one and the other one. They have to date and stamp one and give it back to you. Then from that point on, they have 10 days to answer you. Whether they tell you to go fuck yourself, pound sand, whatever, they have 10 days. If they don't answer you in 10 days, then you go to the Attorney General of your town, your state, or whoever it is, and you do the same thing all over again. The more you hit them with the paper, the more they're going to get aggravated. But if they see you're not going to go away, they have to do something about it. Now, when you're there with cameras and everything, you got the cameras out. Let me enlighten you. Get a pair of glasses cameras. Get a fucking pen camera. Carry a pocket recorder. Whatever you carry. But if you got something in someone's face, they're not going to fucking talk to you. They don't have to talk to you.
I understand. The FBI says to me, well, you called on the third? I said, I've called 4 times. He said, I'm surprised you didn't get put on the zero list. If you call too much, they you go on a list of we ain't fucking with you. Huh?
That's when you go on their website, you get their internal affairs complaint, and you fill it out. And they cannot walk away from you without telling their name or badge number.
Yep.
It's a federal law. They have to give it to you when you ask for it.
Yep.
I wish I would have known that when I was younger, because like I was telling you, Phil, I myself had a similar problem, and when I went down to the police station after being arrested and tried to file a complaint with the sergeant, he basically shooed me right out of the police station. And of course, I was younger. I was more ignorant to the fact of, you know, and I just thought to myself it was what it was, but now that I'm older, I know it was wrong, you know, et cetera, but to just, again, reiterate what George is saying, that's the shit they do in Fall River, and people just don't know how to stand up for themselves, and like I've said with the business card stuff or badge number, they will gear around that, behind it, to not answer it. And
I
witnessed it, and I, you know.
That's fine. That's at that point, that's when you ask for the supervisor. He has to, if he gets called out there, he has to give it to you.
The supervisor would not even give the
you guys, look, you know Carlos, you talk to Carlos,
yeah,
and ask Carlos how to videotape those guys without them knowing it. You can get some things done. If you walked up to me with a camera rolling in my face, I'm going to tell you the same fucking thing. I'm going to act the same way on camera because you're invading their space. And because of that badge, they think grants them extra rights, and you have no rights, they're going to fuck with you. Because they think, let's put it this way. What scares them most is a well-informed citizen. Let me repeat that. What scares them most is a well-informed citizen. Look, I had seven fucking guys in a period of 6 weeks taken off their motorcycles. They lost $852 a month apiece for taking care of that motorcycle for 3 hours on a Saturday. You think they fucking love me here?
Right. I'm trying to see if I can get a picture of this Detective Konarski. Yeah, standing there on Bay State Exam. There's a picture of Detective Konarski standing there with a fucking switchblade in his hand. He's gonna go open up the package of my with my phone in it. You know, I don't know if that's part of that 30-minute video up top also, but this is, you know, unbelievable. He's standing there. Got the switchblade in his right hand, and I'm hoping that we have that on the video part of, and it wasn't just a still when he's trying to pop the blade open. He couldn't even fucking do that right. Oh God, come on.
Well, George, you've
yeah.
given some valuable information, and looks like you've got your work cut out for you, but take Phil's advice and do what he says. And
I will be speaking with someone at City Hall tomorrow about a permit. But I will
I'm going to contact
the DOJ.
Yeah.
One way or another, I'll be meeting with my attorney tomorrow. He may possibly have, you know, he's not just an attorney, he's also become a friend over this, because he kind of looks to me at times, and it's like, wow, he said, you're fucking scared of nothing. What should I be scared of?
Having more of your rights taken away.
Yeah.
You can try. They can try. That's one thing, you know. People in the beginning told me, you can't win, you can never win. Well, you can't, because you would never try. And you would never finish it. You know, like they say, winners never quit, and quitters never win.
I'm telling you, if you got people that are on, that they say they're on your side, call bullshit and see if how far they're willing to go right now.
Yep.
And everything, just like I said, you go to each department's website, you go to their internal affairs part, you copy it out, make two copies, walk in with both copies in a folder, open the folder, give them one copy, and say, I'd like this date stamp, please, and signed by who received it. And you give them the other one after, when they give you the one back.
Yep.
They're going to ask you what's for and all that bullshit, okay? But here's the thing. Now that you have a real person took possession of that, now you got them. Now the trail starts. I give people I give people internal affairs complaints all the time. And when they ask me what, I ask them, what is for? What's it about? And I have them already filled out for that. And I give it to them. They take it in, and they ask the fucking guys, the same guy that takes them, been taking them for the last 5 years, looks at him and says, oh, you got this from Philip. Instead of changing it up, they copy it verbatim and then hand it to them, and they know that I did it, that I filled it out.
Right, right.
That's the stuff you have to, everybody can tell you, 9 out of 10 people, okay, are going to do the opposite of what the one person is going to do. You
yep.
have to get 9 people to do what that one person was doing, and that one person that don't want to do nothing. You have to reverse that. Now, if all these people you're telling me about that are on your team, now's the time to call bullshit and make the 9 people and put the 1 instead of the 1, and 9 people don't do shit.
Yeah. I cut ties over the years with a lot of people, you know, and I've been keeping them myself, and I had my restaurant going, trying to make that. A lot of people, like on Facebook, yeah, you know how the Facebook friends are. I've got all these people behind me, people posting fucking back to back, whatever. But
Now you know what you do? Hey, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I need to ride into Boston. I want to go to the FBI building. I want to go to the Department of Justice building. Does anybody have the time to help me do that tomorrow and see what happens? And see what happens. Okay, now's the time to come to Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm doing this
not just for myself. I'm doing this for everybody else around here who's been wronged and people that I don't want to see be wronged. You know?
Hey, that's why I'm doing this show. That's why Bill and I do this show, keep people informed. We're not adversarial against the police. I'm just against the ones that do it wrong.
That, absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I had some old lady take one of the cop box stickers today. She said, I'm not afraid to put this on the car. You know how they got the black plate with the blue band? Well, this has the blue band has copblock.org. And I thought she was, sweet. The old lady's about 70 years old. What are they going to do to me? You know, I bet it'd be that old lady that'd give me a ride before some of these other people.
That's what I'm saying. Now's the time to call bullshit.
Yeah.
So we're at the end of it now. I want everybody to know if I get a guest tomorrow that I talked to yesterday, if he's free tomorrow, I'll do tomorrow's show. If not, I'll be here Thursday, and we can pick up. And I want you to call and let me know what's going on, George.
I will do that, brother. I will do that. Hey, I want to thank everybody for showing an interest and much love. You know. I'm trying to do this for my, not just for myself, but everybody else. So, we will meet, that's for damn sure. You know, we'll be doing a tour next year for the Black and Blue movie. But everybody else out there, stand strong. Keep up the fight. Peace.
Good night, George. Thank you. Good night, Stacy. Good night, Ryan.
Good night.
Thanks, Stacy.
I'm going to let Mike P. take us out with a little summertime, and I'll see everybody.
Yeah, yeah, Mike P. the big homie, summertime in the valley, homie, yeah, come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah, summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. Mama too dramatic, and goddamn it, it's about that time. Then drink up the vodka, beer, and
for the 10th time. So what the fuck, I guess I'll bust another rhyme. Cause hey, all I wanna do is drink beer and screw, hang on the avenue and go home with you when the party ends. Mike P back again with rep for representing. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. Mine's Mike P, and it's likely that you just might be my new right key. I'm just playing. Tell me, baby girl, hey, are you leaving or staying? There's a full party going on, come on, jump in. Kick back for a second, bring a couple of friends. I don't know the type of crew.